Hopefully I've pressed the wrong button, and we'll get a recording, and I won't pat my pockets, hopefully, too much. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, so grateful and thankful for this morning, for a time of worship, for the time of entering into your presence, to know you, to take steps closer and closer to you day by day, Lord. Steps of faith, steps of trust. Father God, steps of obedience. Oh Lord, I just want to declare how much I love you this morning. Father God, Lord, how much I need you and how much your church needs you this morning. And we pray for the word that is preached this morning, that we know it will not come back void, Lord. It will accomplish everything that you set out to this morning, Lord. It will prosper in the places that you sent it. So Father God, have your way. Of course, your servant now to remember everything you would have me to say this morning. Give me the freedom and the liberty in the Spirit of God, Lord. Lead and guide me as I open my mouth, place the words there, I pray this morning. And open up our hearts, Lord, to receive what it is you would have to say through your precious word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Crossing the Jordan, part 9. Lots of bits in there that we've been through, and it's taken a while, but the last one that Linda did declared that get ready, because we were going over. So this week I've just entitled it The Crossing. So there is going to be something that happens that goes in, and we can say, oh, today is the day that we get our feet wet. Well, if you actually read the scriptures, then they don't get their feet wet anyway. So but it's what happens. So there's quite a bit of reading to start off with. I want to ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 3, and I'm going to read the whole of that chapter, and then just go back in and have a look at something for this morning. So Joshua chapter 3, Israel crosses the Jordan. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Thank you, Linda. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You should command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourself 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord, that the Lord of the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, that the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflowed its banks during the whole time of harvest, but the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratin. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless that portion of scripture, Father God, to our heart this morning as we open it up and have a look in your precious name. It's been an awful long time, isn't it, that Israel received the promise from God of peace and prosperity. Maybe it's a long time ago for you this morning that you received the promise of God and you've been holding on to it all these years. Well, as we heard last week, well, the week before when Linda was preaching, get ready, now is the time, we're going over. So this morning, maybe it's this morning, you know, that reassurance of a promise that God is going to do something in your life. Despite what you see and what you feel that nothing's happening, God can do it. Do you believe that this morning? If we start off on that positive note, then I think that's a good thing. But it's some 40 years since they're there. And the good thing is that all these unbelieving and doubting generations have passed away. You see, when we keep preaching the Word of God will do something in your heart. And all doubt and unbelieving, if it's received in the purity on which is spoken by the Spirit of God into your heart, will remove that doubt and unbelieving and make a way for you to believe for that impossible thing that you were hoping for that promise, for the realization of that promise, whatever it is, whether it's for yourself or whether it's for someone in your family. You see, God raised up a new group of people who were eager and waiting for God to do something new, and they had them all there ready, hallelujah, just on the edge of the River Jordan to do something. Because it's been 40 years, I could ask you that this morning. Do you remind yourself of the promises of God that God has given you? Or is it, oh yeah, it was something to do with this or that? It could be, I know that one of the ones that we received, that's for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, which is from Joshua, spoken unto him. And there's this portion of scripture in Acts that reveals it the same. Believe in your house, on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, you and your household. So I believe those. And then when sometimes something happens and raises up in our family, I think, oh, that's far from it, Lord. If you've forgotten the promise that I said to you, forgotten what I told you all those years ago, hold on to it. So it's good to remind yourself. So even now, while I'm speaking now, and I'm going to remind us of what Israel's promise is, just remind you of what God has promised you in your life. So as we look at Exodus 3, 7 and 8, this is a reminder of God's promise to the nation of Israel. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from a land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place, yes, there are problems there, Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. We won't touch on those at the moment, but they're problem there. They're natures of the world. They're the things that can just suddenly come against us and without any forewarning, that can knock us sideways and out of our walk sometimes. But the promise is that he's going to deliver us out of the hand of Egypt and lead us into the promised land, a land which is flowing with milk and honey. And if you remember, this is where we began the study all those weeks ago. I mean, and it's longer than 9 weeks because we haven't done it every week religiously. We've done it when we can. So it's a good couple of months ago that we said it. Health and prosperity. Milk and honey represents health and prosperity in your life. So it's a promise to you today. You know, you may feel beaten, broken up. You may feel as if you've been put through a mangle and this world is wringing you out dry this morning. But God's promise to you is health and prosperity. And if you can hold on to that this morning, hold on to that promise through faith, then you've got a hope and you're not hopeless. God doesn't want a church full of people who are hopeless. He wants full of church that is hopeful this morning. So hopeful of that promise. That word flowing meant is to mean freely, freely flowing as water. There's drinks of water going around now this morning. Yeah, just freely flowing. Isn't that great? Because you just tip it up and it does all the work for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to grab hold of each little droplet and force it in a particular direction. And I think that's the blessing of God's hand this morning. That he just opens up his hand and it flows. The blessings flow from him this morning without any effort. It's faith to believe that God can do it this morning. It's only the bit of momentum that it needs to get it going. And the rest is up to God. We stand back and we receive it and we go, I don't deserve it. Great, you don't. That's what grace is. That's what mercy is this morning. Pour it out, Lord. Bring it on. Hallelujah. In God, the flow will never dry up. It's effortless. Because it's from above and not us. When we try, it's an effort. and it soon stops. Maybe we can do it for a little while, but it soon stops. There's a lovely passage of scripture in Malachi 3 and 10. I know it talks about tithes and offerings, about giving, but it says there that bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me, says the Lord, that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out, there's that pouring, that flowing, pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room, enough for you to keep it. Bring it on, Lord, bring it on. Just let it flow, pour it out from the windows of heaven. Pour out from heaven your blessing upon my life this morning. That's the promise. And that's where Israel has stood on the banks of the Jordan, ready to pass over and to receive what God has promised for them. Stood on the wrong side of the Jordan on that day, looking towards that promise then. The excitement goes around. Let there be a stirring. Let there be an excitement in the hearts of people here this morning to know that we're on the brink of something great. We're always on the brink. You see, every day is a day closer to salvation, isn't it? For us, for the breakthrough. Every day is a day closer to a revival that happened in the lands. When it happened in 1904, when Evan Roberts got on his knees and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, it was just a normal day, and then suddenly God broke through and broke out. Do you believe that? But it could be done, not necessarily in the same way or the same format, but the fact is that God can open up the windows of heaven again and pour out a blessing such that we've never ever seen before. And we're ready, and we're looking at it. We're looking at the promise. Israel looking at the promise across the Jordan, going, look, look, it's great. Look at it, look at it. Hallelujah. Excitement that they're finally there. 40 years plodding along, handed down from generation to generation about the promise, and each one the doubting and the unbelief growing. Years ago we booked a holiday to go to Turkey, and got all excited because the brochure said, oh, it's a lovely place, showed us the glossy pictures of the hotel, and we got there, got on a bus, went past these lovely hotels, lovely places. They go, oh, nice. This is a lovely area. Went down a side street. Ooh, dusty road. Ooh. I thought, he's going a shortcut. He's going a long way. Down another side street. Went through what looked like a derelict slum area. And the bus stopped. And I looked at Linda and we went, uh-oh. And there stood this hotel, which, well, if I could have turned round there and then and gone back, I would have. We got off the bus, went in, and they booked us into the room. Well, it was worse than Fawlty Towers. It was the worst. The bedrooms were so dirty we didn't even unpack the suitcases. We couldn't find anywhere clean enough to put the clothes. We wouldn't sleep on the bed. We slept on the put-up settee covered with our towels and things. And it must have been late in the night or late in the evening because we couldn't find anyone in reception to do anything about it or change our mind or do whatever it was. You know, the most startling thing was when I went down to reception the following day and was there ready to complain to say how bad the place was, there was somebody sat next to me saying, God, any great year. Much better than the last place. I was thinking, well, I'm glad I didn't go there, but no. I don't expect everything. I don't expect plush. I don't expect gold taps or anything like that. But you expect the place to be clean and tidy from a reputable firm that are recommended, and you go on their promise through the brochure, don't you? Well, what I'm trying to say here is that we were let down. But the promise of the brochure, the promise of the promised land of milk and honey, God does not let down. It was better than what the brochure said in every way possible, even from the distance of where they're looking out, because there was a stirring and there was an excitement. Look, look, it's better than the brochure. It's better than what they said it was. Look at that plush, fertile land. Look, I can't wait to get across. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm coming and trying to jump in and get across before the rest of them. Hold on, wait. That's not the way to do it. God does not disappoint. and where he's promised you. You may have added on some bits. Maybe you should go back and check if you've added on some frills and spills and other little bits and pieces. Maybe if you stripped those away and got back to the promise. The promise of health and prosperity in its nutshell. Are you healthy? Are you prosperous? Well, in God I am, yes. In the things of this world, no. Do I need them? No. Do I crave after them? No. Do I lust after them? No. Everything of God. Everything of God. Just to see saints of God in here this morning, worshipping and praising God, sets my heart and my soul alight and gives me revival in my soul when I think, it's what's the point? It's not doing anything. Then just a word in a week, or somebody says something or does something, and I have a meeting with somebody. I had a meeting with somebody yesterday, just bumped into them, and I'll tell you who it was great. I hadn't even told Linda yet. It was Graham and Joshua. We are Joshua, Caleb. Graham and Caleb. Saw them in Caerphilly. This touched my heart, because he looked at my uniform rather strange. He did. Well, Graham did as well, yeah. No. Graham recognised me. So we started having a chat, and he looked at me and he said, "You're a policeman?" And I said, "Of sorts, yes." He said, "Here's the best bit. This will tickle you as well." He said, "I thought you were a singer." So Graham put him straight. He said, "Nah, he wouldn't earn enough from there doing that." He has to do other things as well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't even know how I got onto that. Just to test my heart. Yeah, God does not disappoint. And whatever the promise is into your life, I just want you to walk towards it by faith today. As Israel camped on that side of the Jordan, you see, it looks beautiful, plush, fertile, everything that we could hope it for. All you're ever going to need, you will find this morning in Christ. And if you're looking everywhere else, stop. You don't need it. So many times we can be fooled into that trap of looking for the things in the world. And you will be disappointed. It will not be like the brochure has said, because that brochure has been painted in your mind for things which were not originally spoken of by God. Let's get back to the original promise of what God spoke into our lives, and that is through Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our riches in glory. Amen. You see, we can tell people all the time, again and again, sometimes it seems like a lifetime, of how wonderful our Savior is. But you know, there comes a time when they have to see for themselves. And the people were there. They could now see for themselves. I know he said this, but I didn't really think he was going to be this good. I didn't really think, you know, people can tell you about, you can tell your friends about the life in Christ, and if you're doing that, keep on. Don't get frustrated about the fact that they're not listening. You just need God to break through in one day. It could be that one day we've been talking about. If that's the promise for your family, then God will break through. Hallelujah. But they got to see for themselves. Let's not get frustrated and beat ourselves up. Why is it not happening? They have to see for themselves. And in John 3:3, doesn't it say, is that Jesus answered when he's speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now just simply, we're not going to go into what being born again is, but it is. He goes on to explain to Nicodemus, who was the rabbi above all rabbis, who should know. He knew his Bible, he knew everything, but he didn't understand who was speaking to him. That he must be born of the Spirit. And you cannot be born of the Spirit by just living a religious life as he did, but you had to come to God and repent and turn from your wicked ways and just see God for who he is, as a wonderful Savior. See the man in front of him for who he was, as Jesus, as a wonderful Savior. What's born of flesh is of flesh, and what's born of spirit is of spirit. You cannot mix the two together. You see, when I gave my life to Christ, when I was born again, and I became a Christian, I didn't become a born-again Christian, I was born again by the Spirit and became a Christian, Christ-like in as much ways as he would allow at that time, and then I followed him. Then, to be honest with you, I started to see things differently. I was pretty selfish in my time and my efforts. I was doing a lot of weight training and bodybuilding, and it didn't matter whatever happened, that took priority in my life. I was drinking. All these things I now saw that I didn't need in my life, and my eyes were were opened up. But I needed to believe who the one that was said that could change those things first before it happened. And then I wasn't going to wait for it to happen. And I said, oh yeah, you were right. I'll believe in that guy then. That's not faith. That just happens. That's what the world deals you. But being born again, hallelujah. Now Israel could see the opportunity for that abundant life. Can you see the opportunity this morning for abundant life in Jesus Christ? If you want to, just believe the simple message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for you. And if you believe that and repent and ask Him into your life, you will begin to see things differently. You'll begin to see now as Israel did, not just because somebody told you, not because your brother or your sister or your mum or your dad told you or your friend told you. You see for yourself because it's a personal salvation and it's a personal walk with God this morning. That's what Israel saw. That's where they were stood on the Jordan, just waiting. It doesn't take much to understand why there was an excitement and a stirring going on. And people were going, yay, hallelujah, God is going to do it. And then we sit there and we just go, oh yeah. I know it's a hot day, saints of God, but just look a little bit excited for me this morning, please. For the sake of the tape. You see, people, good speakers can whip up a crowd and can whip up things. Good orators can do that. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to preach the word and to share the word, which I hope will do the stirring in your hearts for you to believe for the impossible. Because next week when you need it, you need to go back and remind yourself of the promises of God and maybe this word today. And say, look, God is well able to do it. God is going to cause a stirring in my soul. I'm coming alive again. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ, and He's the only one that can do it. Praise the Lord. They see the opportunity, thank you, for the abundant life, the promise. You see, Israel now saw the promise. They no longer saw the problems. And what God will do today is to shut your eyes off from the problems and focus you on the promise. As we trust and believe in God and begin to see through faith the promises of peace and prosperity, look forward as Israel did and get excited. That's for me. You know, look, God intended that for me. The life of Christ and the riches in Christ by Christ, in Christ in glory, is what God intended for me, for you. It's not for the good person, the one who does everything right. It's the one who does everything wrong and sees that he's doing everything wrong and says, oops, I've done wrong again. Sorry, God. That's a hard thing to do. Isn't grace wonderful? You know, we can, even though we know it, we can still try to think that we've got to deserve it or work for it. And we can feel guilty when we just say, oh Lord, forgive me and wash over me this morning. Because we still want to, in our own way, try to make up for that. Try to do something for that. The day that we get to the point of receiving grace in His purity and His honesty and His fullness, without having to do anything for it, it is a gift of God given freely by the Father, then I think something will start to happen in our lives. At that point, things will change. Stop trying to work things out. Their spirits were quickened. And in Psalm 119, my reading a couple of weeks ago, I've come across this that I hadn't seen before. Psalm 119, 153 to 160, I'll read. I'm reading from the King James, the New King James. Consider my afflictions and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Please my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. King James says, quicken me. I don't know what your Bible will say. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me, hallelujah, quicken me, according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous, and I am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, quicken me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Three times in those couple of verses of scripture, that word quicken is mentioned today. Quicken according to your word, Lord. As the word is preached, it is purpose to quicken in your heart for something to happen. According to your judgments, Lord. Well, I know that God sits in the throne room judging right, and His judgment towards us today, it's always as if just as if we've never sinned, that we are not guilty. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been called cleansed and washed. That's his judgment upon us this morning. According to your loving kindness. Well, I'll never work that one out. Hallelujah. With your loving kindness, you draw me to your side, Lord, because I just cannot work out God's loving kindness towards me this morning. But that word quicken means, it means to revive, to make alive. And God is here this morning through the preaching of his word, through the judgments upon your life, and through his loving kindness to cause you to come alive again, to quicken you. Hallelujah. Something that once was dead, maybe it's a dead faith this morning and you just feel absolutely numb. I don't know where you are, I don't know what you're doing. But you know, I could have been like this yesterday in certain aspects of my life. I could have been like it last week. I could feel like it tomorrow. And then this message will come back like a flood over me, and it will remind me that it is God that is the one that will quicken me. He will cause me to recover. He will cause me to be made whole. And let me tell you this morning, let me remind you this morning, it is only God that can do this. In the fullness of the way that this is written. No one else can. You know, any human attempt at doing this may show some signs of something happening. You know, just as I said, you know, you can preach, somebody can whip you up with some good words and you can get excited and you can, oh yeah. But it's pretty shallow. When it comes from man, there's no depth in it, there's no meaning to it. But it will be short-lived and shallow. In the fullness of God's word, only he can deliver. And in 40 years, the nation of Israel have been quickened to believe once again that God, hallelujah, is the one that is going to do it. It was nothing of them. And what he was about to do would prove that it was nothing of them. My hope and my trust is in God, who's now alive. They are ready. So this morning, if you feel anything less than perfect, great. You're with the rest of us, that's exactly how we all feel. Then turn to God and be quickened. Hallelujah. As his word is preached today. Because my prayer this morning was, and it's in Isaiah somewhere, which says that his word will be like the rain that falls to the earth. It will not come back void. It will always bring fruit to the sower. And it will not come back void. So if I speak the word of God this morning, something will happen to it in your heart if you receive it this morning. His word, quickened by his judgments, quickened by his loving kindness, quickened by his word. Hallelujah, it's amazing. And I cannot go any further when we talk about quickening and something coming revival and alive. Where do you think I'm going to go? No, I'm not going home. You know, I wasn't quickened or revived by some of the sporting events that I saw at the end of last week. I was quite disappointed. I watched nearly all the games of football on the TV. The only game I didn't watch was the final. I thought, that's a bit silly, isn't it? It turned out to be the best one. But we had something else to do, actually. Yeah, we spent a couple of hours together, didn't we, up packing up the caravan after our son and daughters were up there. I can catch up later with that. It didn't matter. That didn't do anything. I wasn't quickened by that. I was quickened by things that were going on in elsewhere. But I diverse. I'm going to Ezekiel chapter 37. You knew I was going to go there, didn't you? Hallelujah. And if you ever want to look up, there's a lovely song by Casting Crowns. May the Lord blow his wind into the valley. And it speaks this story about the word being spoken. The word being spoken and something happening. So it's just 1 through to 14, please. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered and said, O Lord, you know. Again he said unto me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise and a sudden rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. He said unto me also, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, or breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, that indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we are ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come out from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from the graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, that you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord God. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would put that to film and just get that. Maybe they have. I don't know. Very, very dry bones, quickened by the word of the Lord. That's what we looked at. The word of the Lord quickened something. The word of God revived something. Hallelujah. They began to rattle. Now, to most of you, you may think that this is a nursery rhyme puzzle box, but it's actually a box of bones. That's the only thing I could find. I tried to find a biscuit tin. Where's one when you want one? I chucked it out last week from upstairs. The rattle of bones. Prophesy, and there started to be a rattle of bones. Hallelujah. When the word of God was spoken to them. Are your bones rattling? Not creaking and aching from arthritis and all the other jip, because remember the promise of health and security? And prosperity. What did I say? Okay, prosperity, yeah. They began to rattle. God said, he spoke to a bunch of dry bones, something that was lifeless, and it began to make a noise. As the word of God comes leaping off the page this morning from the lips of the speaker into the heart of the receiver, then those dead dry bones could start to rattle. And my word to you this morning, my word for the church is, oh, how the world would only hear the noise of rattling bones in the church, which are coming back to life and bringing revival to this land, instead of hearing the moaning and complaining that we constantly did, oh, woe is me. God doesn't know about me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. This would happen or that wouldn't happen. Let the noise be the rattling, hallelujah, as the prophet stands before you this morning and speaks a prophetic word and say, your dry bones will start to rattle. Hallelujah. And then picture what happens to the rest of that scenario. You will know, I will place my spirit in you. But before that, I'll start to put life in you. Bones on their own is nothing. The sinews become. And if it was animated and you could put it to motion, you see the bones coming on. It's just not just a skeleton. The sinews come. Then the flesh comes on. And then God said, my breath, my spirit, hallelujah, quickened. That's where the church needs to be. Quickened by the Spirit of God, excited, anticipating that something great will happen. And if God says that he will do it to Israel, his beloved people, then 2,000 years down the line, he speaks it to Moriah today and says, I will do the same for you. I will cause you to come alive again. What was once dead will come alive here this morning as this word is being preached. Get ready to receive it. Get ready to walk in it. Hallelujah. Get ready to walk towards the promise of God. Maybe you've never had to step out in faith in such steps before, but know this morning, God is here. Hallelujah. God is here. The word of God is here to quicken you. The judgments of God is here, which should have already quickened you through his grace and the loving kindness through that mercy which touched your life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me that we've sung about this morning already. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise you, Jesus. I think I've done it again. I'm going to run out of time. And I'm not compromising the rest of this message. And I can't be here next week because I've got to do the big cheese. I want to finish this. I want to go on from this because I've still got 3 pages to preach. I've done it's quarter 12. I'm going to keep you hanging on another week. I wonder if we could we do something like radical, like I don't know, come together next Sunday evening instead of Sunday morning. Can we do that? Then I can still meet my work commitments and I can still come and finish this message off, which I want to. If you can, fine. If you can, bless you. I don't want to finish this. It's a hot day. I think they're worn out. There's some good stuff to come. And I don't want to miss it. I want to go back over it and make sure that I've got this next bit spot on. It would have been there this morning, but I would have needed another half an hour at least to finish it off. So, amen. I'll leave you with this one thought. Start rattling. Can I leave you with that this morning? Start rattling. Start believing that God can stir up your heart, stir up your spirit. Listen, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be quickened if there's any hope for the rest of this world. If there's any hope for people that are looking on. It's like that song that we sung earlier on, the words, I'll be your vessel, the world to see, your life in me. Amen. I'm going to turn this recording off and we're